I feel like we got like two different opinions in terms of where you were describing on the album, like this like guitar focus, whereas you were saying that like part of the big changes with the band was like the drums. So is there anything that you like, what's your experience on that end from either of you in terms of like where you see, because I feel like there is a particular perspective coming in as on a project that's already sort of formed, and I don't know, what do you see as like your role in that, I guess?
I suppose the drums have changed a fair bit.
Well, yeah, I think like having played in previous projects that used a drum machine, which I think is basically what you used, or like a loop or something for the first album, having a live drummer just changes the dynamic range like in an incredible way, in my opinion. And also just like the flexibility of the music to like leave the grid and stuff, you know?
Okay.
So to me, it makes it more like lively and dynamic than like a drum machine thing.
Yeah, we've done like guitar jams, just like the three of us, working things out, and then, you know, we're like, okay, yeah, this is getting somewhere and it's cool. But then Andy comes in and like, it really does bring everything to life.
Yeah, it animates everything. It's like huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, thanks.
Yeah, good job, Andy.
I mean, you're great, but you know.
Nature beast.
The drums is what I'm
the
talking
drums,
about.
Yeah. No. I feel you. Yeah.
Yeah, he does play the drums.
Yeah.
He does it. He's doing it back there.
I feel like, yeah, just like we've also added, or we found a chemistry, all of us together, where we really sit pretty dang tight. And we just kind of like all wrap around the guitar melodies and the vocals and all that. And yeah, it's like feels the chemistry is really great between all of us when we get up there on stage.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps that we all are very good friends, like in and out of the band.
And I guess stepping away from just the composition of the band, but in terms of influences as well, because again, there was that big change in tone in terms of the music that you're now recording and playing. So is there a difference in inspiration, or was that really just an artifact of like bringing more people in, or like what do you guys listen to and like what affects the music, I guess?
Yeah, I guess sort of the stuff that I was listening to around, I think it kind of is like what happens more so than like having influences and then trying to write something that sort of sounds like those influences is like I'll write a riff or something, and then I'll be like, oh, I'm kind of getting this vibe, and this vibe of like other things that I have listened to, and I'm gonna kind of try and draw on those to like maybe like produce the sound of the track, or like try and like figure out where to go with the riff or whatever. So I think for a lot of the stuff on the first one, I was like, well, I like the first few months of the pandemic, I was staying with my parents, and my mom has like an acoustic guitar there, so a lot of the stuff was written on like an acoustic guitar. So I think it kind of got a softer start as well. But I kind of drew from more like Alex G or Pale Hound or like Elliot Smith type stuff. And I mean, I got a bunch of other stuff as well, but those are like kind of like three main ones that Harmony Tividad from Girlpool. She has like a really good solo album. But yeah, kind of like really soft or like more like intimate, I guess, kind of like laid back, a lot less like dynamic changes, I guess. That sort of like felt like it fit with the riffs that I was writing at the time. And then I guess also maybe then I just got more like depressed during COVID, and so the sound kind of took like a darker turn perhaps, or there was a different range of emotions I was experiencing at the time, I suppose. So then the riffs kind of took on a different quality, and I started drawing from maybe bands more like Dive or like the Pixies, or I don't know, stuff just like louder, more like still kind of like, I guess, not super like hypey stuff either. Still kind of like laid back, but just like in a lot more of like a loud way, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. And I remember, Sarah, you said that like the first thing that happened was an email exchange of talking about music. So what was like that discussion like at the time in terms of the stuff that you guys were sharing back and forth?
Oh yeah, true. I don't really know. I think I just sent like a Steely Span song because I like the bass line a lot. So okay. It's very unrelated musically to the band.
I feel like that was part of what was mentioned before, where it's like, it's not so much like the direct influence, but like these things that sort of change the color maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's a big difference for all of you? Like the sort of music that you play, the sort of music that maybe you make, and what you actually listen to? Like, does it feel like those have, of course those don't have to be related at all, but.
I think we all bring like a certain spice to the band.
Yeah, I think like we were assembling a playlist, like a mixing reference playlist, or just like a reference playlist for working on this new album of like, oh, we really like the bass sound on like these tracks or like the guitar tone on these tracks. And like the different things we were adding to this playlist, I feel like kind of paints a good picture of like our disparate influences and like where they converge and like how that influences the Knitting Sound. I think also like we went to the West Coast earlier this year and we're having a real grunge moment there. We were listening to a lot of Hole. We were in like Washington State and the other ones that are out there. I forget.
Oregon.
Thank you. Yeah, Washington, Oregon. Like we played in Olympia, Seattle. So we were, I think, all kind of tapping into like that era and those influences. A lot of us have read the same like autobiographies this year that like a big one's been Hit So Hard by Patty Schemmel, the original drummer in Hole. And like doing kind of a deep dive just on that like West Coast like 90s grunge sound that I feel like I really hear in the new songs.
Yeah.
That again, I guess kind of has followed in the wake of that Nirvana cover show. Which was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
So much fun. Yeah.
So was that played as Knitting doing Nirvana, or was it just you guys happen to be together for?
We were Nirvana with a K.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nirvana.
And what stood out about that show? Like, what made it so different from before?
I think we just let loose.
Yeah.
Not that we don't.
Yeah.
As Knitting.
I think we really did. Like, I remember Sarah standing up on an amp. Like, you don't do that at a regular Knitting show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a certain permission that comes with doing a cover show.
And everybody knowing wild. The songs.
Yeah, everyone knows the songs.
Like, it's a real, like, you can't fake that. Just everybody knowing your songs and screaming along, and it doesn't even matter if we're playing them a bit fast and loose.
Oh, we were playing fast and loose.
Yeah, we honestly probably didn't even play very well.
No,
it was pretty sloppy.
It was more of like the whole aura surrounding it.
Yeah, getting up on
a taste
amp.
Of fame, mm-hmm. Yeah. If you will.
Yeah, rock star moment.
I feel like that was that like catalyzed our chemistry even more. We were all just
we're really narrativizing.
Yeah,
and like making this Nirvana show is a huge thing.
Oh yeah,
but I didn't really think of it that way. But I guess that's cool.
Oh, we just spent like a month learning Nirvana songs. So I feel like that has to happen.
I guess so. Yeah.
I think too, like getting to be like a different band for a night, that's, you don't have like the, maybe not like the same pressure of being something already. You just get to put on an act. And I feel like that's going to be, there's going to be some change that comes along with that.
It was just really fun to be really loud. I don't know.
Yeah. Versus like this year, we didn't do a cover band because we were like, it is so much time and energy. And yeah, like we spent exactly like a month learning these other songs and we were all like, okay, we want to focus on our songs, put all that energy back into our music at this point. So,
mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't think it was like it changed everything or whatever, but it just felt good to play that show. And I was like, come on, I want to keep doing that. That's cool.
Yeah, I think also what you, I mean, obviously I wasn't at that show, but like the description that you guys gave of like it being more, I guess, performative as well. Like that's pretty different from the way that you guys play. And I like the way that you guys play, which is this very like sort of like focused and like tuned in. And it's like the music is just kind of like coming out of you guys. It's, I feel like Sunforger has like a similar presence when it comes to like being on stage.
Just stand too still.
Yeah, but no, like there is a cool contrast when you see like these bands that like really flip out on stage. But and still, like it's not like you guys are playing this with a like a small presence or like a small sound. It's like still something very large that's just like kind of emanating off of you. You know, the whole like aura. And also when you're talking about like people knowing the songs and it because you're playing Nirvana tracks. I mean, that's also the case when you guys play actual shows. I remember someone brought a bag of baby carrots to one show, and that got thrown onto stage and then eaten.
That was a really good post-show snack, I will say. Delicious. Crisp and refreshing.
Shout out to our three fans in St. Therese.
Oh, yeah. We played Santa Teresa Festival this summer,
yeah.
And these girlies knew every word to baby carrots.
Well, yeah, they waited.
No, it was
Oh, my bad.
They waited like the whole set. And
you're right.
Like,
it was throwaway
year.
Peeking
at the set list, and then when we started playing it, they all just started singing along. It was a great feeling. So thank
they
you.
They wanted us to play it again.
Nice.
Like in lieu of the rest of our set.
And what's that feeling like? I mean, going from, because you kind of talk down on, like, obviously, you start off not being known by anybody, but how does it feel to have people know, especially going to a different place like that and having people that know the friggin' lyrics? What's that feeling like?
Kind of makes me shy or, like, self-conscious. Yeah, I had to like look down a little bit because I was like, oh my god. I don't know. It's very cool. It's a very, very cool feeling, but it does make me kind of shy.
Okay.
I love it, but I didn't write the lyrics, so I'm just like, wow, these people have listened to this music.
Yeah, it's unexpected.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
And now I guess coming back to the album again in terms of like the sound that you've got there, maybe this will be the last question so that you guys can kind of talk forward and build up the album a bit. Like, what are you were talking about this being like an album that's larger than what you can do on a stage, but also like what kind of sound have you got going there, and also what are you looking forward to about releasing it, or what were the good parts about recording it as well? Anybody?
I mean, we were in the studio with our pal Monty, which was just such a great experience. He was an awesome person to work with, just like the enthusiasm and the ideas, and like just like I feel like a really perfect touch of supportive and like, yeah, you can do that better, you know. Was something that we were all kind of looking for, was that like outside voice, but an outside voice that like understands what we're trying to do. That was a lot of fun for me, and I think for all of us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was sick. We recorded like our bed tracks with Monty, and then me and Sarah went back to her studio and did like a lot of
many sessions
for vocals and like
and acoustic guitar.
Yeah. We added acoustic guitar to almost every song on the album, which was surprising but worked literally so well.
Yeah, I think it just like having the opportunity to do a lot of layering, and like we doubled or tripled or quadrupled like all of our guitar parts so that there's like a lot of density. And yeah, we just really worked on every tone. Like Monty had this huge Rubbermaid container of pedals.
Yeah.
And so for each song, we just go in and like make a little pedal recipe out of what he has. And yeah, just really focusing on every aspect of the sound, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
a lot of intention in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I honestly listened to our like unmixed tracks we just finished recording like two weeks ago and sent them off to be mixed, and I was like, yeah, this is going in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
I feel like it's really paid off.
Yeah, like previous recording as this band, like when we did the two singles, it's like just one guitar track, you know?
Skimpy,
one each.
Skimpy, yeah.
what's that about? Now we have like 5 or 6 each on each song.
Yeah.
So it's pretty sweet.
It's pretty awesome.
And 100 friggin' drums or what?
No, this album's not about the drums. I'm just kidding. Well, so. I'm just, no, I, that was a bit of a...
The drums sounded... You rented a really sick cymbal.
I rented.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had think to Andy stop had, what, her. Like 3 different rides on this. So there's still some, yeah, rides, some studio, yeah, magic going on.
We had to halt a session
so that Andy could
take an Uber. We were halfway through a song and my ride, which I was playing today, didn't have the right sound. And I knew the cymbal that I'd wanted for a long time. So I took an Uber to the Long & McQuaid that's on P9, which is, if you're not from Montreal, like 40 minutes from where we were, and bought it. And then use it for the session. And then
nice.
It was a whole ordeal.
Yeah. But
it worth it.
Yeah, you're right. I was sorry. I was being a little facetious. But we really put a lot of time and effort into those beds when we were doing the drums with Monty.
Yeah.
And spent a lot of time making sure everything was tonally sick. And
Yeah, it sounds like kind of the culmination of, you know, again, going back now to the origin, starting solo, adding more people, sound develops, and then like figuring out what to do with that, like, and the place to do that is with an album where you have all this control. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing that, because I've really liked what you guys have been playing live, and I'm really glad that we got some recordings of that today. But yeah, it's cool to hear how much effort is going into that and all like the development behind it. And it's good to see that you guys are also like, you're sort of like, I see the shyness about talking about it, but also like there's clearly some excitement and like the anticipation of that sort of thing coming out.
Oh yeah, I'm just excited to have an album out that actually sounds like kind of like what we're actually doing. I'm gonna just stop catfishing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we can wrap it up there, and I'll say thanks again for coming here. Thanks for taking the time to finally make it out to CJLO and recording before. Also, thanks to Zach, Adam, Sam, everybody's who was sort of involved today in setting this up. Yeah, thanks, Knitting.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari. This show is Past Tense. You just heard the end of the interview that I did with the band Knitting of Montreal at CJLO. So I guess I'll reiterate that was a really cool thing for me. It was a long time in the works, and it was cool to see it finally pan out. And now, sort of an interesting thing that I'll throw in now before I get back into some music, is that I think the weekend after the interview, Knitting was supposed to play a show alongside Dresser, Dresser being another favorite of mine here in Montreal, whom I've also interviewed, pretty cool. Anyway, Knitting's supposed to play, I get there, and then on stage comes Knitting, but only as Misha. So turns out there was some planning issues, and Andy ended up being in Mexico. So Knitting turned back into a solo project for the night, and after all of the discussions about, you know, Knitting becoming a band in full after being solo, like a sort of bedroom project, and then going into the studio and making something that's even larger than that, it was really cool to see Knitting strip back again to just a single person on stage, messing around with all these pedals to do like layering all of these tracks. So that was a really cool experience, especially in the context of the interview, to see what it sounded like to take all of these new tracks and then transport them back into this sort of more small and solo experience. So anyway, that was cool and interesting contrast to the sort of discussion I had with the members of the band. Anyway, here's some music.
I bought a bag of baby carrots, and it reminded me of all the cigarettes I smoked for all the people that I'll never impress. But baby carrots don't give me any regrets. Fact check my intentions. I can't get mad about the things I never mention. I spill the milk because of what when I'm so tense. But baby carrots don't give me any regrets.
am I just another one? So sure I'd come undone that I'd set into the sun and said I'll learn to hold my tongue. We'll be right back.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari. This show is Past Tense. Last song that played was College Rock Song Number 1 by the band Knitting. Before that, Amy, also by Knitting. I think you're catching on to the trend now if you've been listening. And then before that, Baby Carrots, also by Knitting, off of their self-titled. And those, the last two songs, so Amy and College Rock Song Number 1, were also recordings done at CJLO in the studio there. So that's it for the songs that they played. And that's it for the show for tonight. Thanks for listening. I hope the interview was interesting. And I know I had fun. So that's the important part for me, I guess. Anyway, that's all. Have a good one.